Okay, so I just woke up, and I had a dream. I'm gonna lay back down, and I'm going to rest again while I discuss the ideas from this dream, because I find when I lay down, I'm able to remember things slightly better. Now, I had somewhere in the scope of, I had several dreams, and many of them were connected. The one I had when I ended was a dream where I was communicating with a Russian. I think that has to do with a friend of mine, because I have a Russian friend, so that's probably how that kind of popped up. The Russian was discussing things like secret police and the way things operate, and say things in Russian first, and then would describe what the saying actually means in terms I can understand. Also talked about Christian ideals. Talked about social norms. Talked about young love and how it related to social pressures. I'm trying to remember the spaces in between this dream and other dreams. I had a son. The kid swore. Seemed to put me off, so he said where he was, and he said it as if it was the worst place in the world. I said, "Hey, kid, there are some places that make the place that you grew up not shit, but it's probably not a good place, like you described for me." He goes into talking about it, and it is quite a bad place. Probably up there on the bad places, but it could be. Again, it always could be worse. Unless it isn't. It's not the worst place, but there's only one place that's the worst place. And the second worst place is, you get an argument in the worst place and the second worst place, but I don't know. I just kind of talking my ass out of that kid. Because I was in the grocery store. And there's I had Okay, so there was a bunch of kids, and it was like I was back in the dojo doing. Okay, so I had a dream, and I was utterly convinced that it was real. The enter like
The question of whether or not it was a dream entered into my mind, but it was so obvious that it wasn't a dream that I dispelled the thought because it was too mundane and boring, and everything was strange, but I had an explanation for how strange the occurrences I was experiencing were. So, I could just dispel the entire thought. So, what happened was, we were on a plane. Actually, we were at an airport. And we were going through the airport. And the airports are just strange. You had stairs going up, stairs going down. You had to go into like, you had to crouch when you go through certain areas. And like the signage is poor, and you're just going up, down, left, right, nothing kind of had a rhyme or a reason. We were with another group of people because we just got off the plane, and then we had to go, and then like we weren't with the group anymore, which sometimes happens. I was with a friend of mine that I used to film with. I was an old friend that I used to be neighbors with. And then a friend of mine, I was trying to teach French to. And then we started counting in French. And then while I was counting, I was on an escalator. And then my jacket got caught up on an escalator above it, like it got caught and then it like pulled off, and then here is the interesting thing. So I this jacket at some point, either I believe I was going down on the escalator. Somehow the jacket got caught up on the stairs of the escalator, and it got pulled off my body, and then I was able to grab it and then pull it off, and then I had the jacket in my hand, and then every single time I'd go down the next escalator, I'd see my own jacket just on the escalator, and I'd grab it and I wouldn't have it in my hand, and I was like, and it happened like 3 times. And I was like, wait, hold on, am I losing my jacket over and over and over again? What happened? Like, it just happened again. And I just did this. And that's the moment when I was like, okay, is this the dream? And I'm like, no, it's definitely not a dream. It's too mundane. It's the mundanity of life that is the evidence of proof that prevents me from realizing I'm in a dream. So, but now I have this experience, so that mundanity is not enough proof, because I was bored. I was bored in my dream. But now I have the proof. I don't, it, mundanity is not enough to be evidence to prevent you from realizing that you're in a dream. So now what I need to do is I need to have the experience of realizing that you're not in a dream be somehow extended in duration and be a strong process, because it was the dream was somewhat it was somewhat vivid. I wouldn't say it's like ultra crisp vivid, but it felt real enough, right? That was the thing. It was real enough, and like I could talk, I could process things, but I was just trying to get to the next thing, right? And I wasn't giving it too much attention. And Oh, that this was a very, 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 very interesting dream. And again, it was an utter success. Like, just perfect realization. 'Cause when I woke up, it took me a minute, and then I remembered. It took me a second. Like, when I woke up, I kept the same mundanity into my waking self of just the kind of accepting all the stuff I'm experiencing. And there was some part of that experience that I just took over. And then I realized of the dream, and then it just like woke me up. Like, I was already in life. I was already in my bed awake, like looking, but I woke up once I realized that I had experienced a dream. And that was enough to wake me up. And in the way, like, and it just got me right out of bed. Not I don't mean out of bed, I mean right into awareness. So, wow, quite extreme. Now, I don't remember what I spoke about in the last, because I recorded two things. One thing was very, 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 like, I was tired when I did the other one. And I discussed a dream where someone was speaking Russian to me, but I kind of remember them in now chronological order, so I can go and redo that. So I was at I don't remember the location, but it was very similar to a karate club because there were children and there were instructors, and I was supposed to run an obstacle course for the kids. Now, we had two air mattresses, or like giant like things, and then we had a trampoline, and the idea was the kids would jump from one thing to the next and then go all the way over. Now, there was one thing that was quite interesting. There is a giant ring that had about 20 teeth, like a almost like a painted circle. But on the outside, there was like a moving. Imagine you get two triangles, and turn them so that they're like the. The tip of the triangle is pointing towards them, and then you like push them, and then they slide together, and they kind of make a diamond pattern. But then you grab both of the ends and you extend it so they're really, really long pointed triangles, and you kind of push them from the side, and then you narrow them. So they look like. They look like longer, they're long triangles, but they're pointed. They're not poking past the flat part of them. They just go perfectly, and then you repeat that pattern all the way around. And they're also circular, so so you get that pattern, you go straight, and then you can curve that whole line, and then the triangle have to make an adjustment, but, and then. Each one of them is numbered, and that ring goes for half of the circle that is like painted around it, right? So there's like a giant circle, probably about, it's like taller than, or like wider than an air mattress, probably two air mattresses. And then that triangle pattern goes around but halfway. So, but what I had the ability to do is I had the ability to spin this triangle pattern. So it would either, this triangle pattern would either make it very easy for the kids to get to the circle part, or it would make it difficult. I pushed the this ring, and then the kids were lined up in two rows, ready to do the obstacle course. So they're on two teams. And I pushed the triangles. I rotated it, and I just did this in my mind. Like I don't know if it was a physical. It was semi-physical, semi-mental, and I was able to just adjust this pattern, so it moved, and it just was enough for like the group on my right, their left, to be able to step onto it and get onto the main circle part, and then I put the air mattresses on the circles, like on inside the circle, because the circle and the triangle is the only thing that can support any, like if it wasn't that or there, it was somehow like either it felt like it would fall through the ground. So I put the air mattress and the other air mattress on that circle part, and then the trampoline came after it. And then it was just me trying to organize it, and then the instructor was like, "Is that enough room on that weird triangle part?" So then I was somehow adjusting that thing, making it different and whatnot. And then somehow I got the dream changed. I got distracted, and I was in a grocery store with a child. There's two children, actually. And then that's when one of the children swore, and then we had a conversation on how bad things could be, and it was Kensington, actually. It was Kingstown or Kensington. It started with a K, the location of where this child lived, and he described his area, and it wasn't too good of a place. But I asked him the question. I was like, "Do you think you live in the worst place? Do you think there's a place that would have been better? For like, do you think that there's a place that if somebody was right now, they could live where you grew up and it had would be better for them?" I did it very poorly, and it kind of was a little bit condescending, especially since his place where he grew up was worse than mine. So it was a it wasn't the right thing to say in that moment, but because I said this, then I get to discuss the I get to discuss experience and learn what communist Russia was like, because there was one thing where I couldn't. Where somebody was explaining to me what Soviet Russia was like, and they would say things in Russian and then re-explain them to me in English. But I heard all the Russian, and I didn't understand it. It was very interesting. I'd hear the Russian, and I would kind of get a feel for it, but it wouldn't be like, it was like I was hearing another language, right? So I find that very interesting, because sometimes I hear a language and then I understand it, And then I have to decide whether or not I'm making it up or not. But with the Russian, I didn't understand it. So this Russian guy, he tells me that you couldn't trust. Trust didn't go easily for people. And you, there's like a whole situation. There is, it's like he told things from like his own experience, and I experienced it as me experiencing his experience. And then, but because it was me experiencing his experience, it felt like I was making the decisions, and they lined up a lot with the choices he made. Or he just was experiencing my experience, and then was able to just say, "Okay, well, this happens," because he knew knows the environment. But it was as if I got like betrayed on by people that were close to me. And it was just that was the. It was just like the way things went, or something along those lines. So now I can also go back into another part. Some child is born. And here's the thing. I had the like I kind of like witnessed what was happening when the child was birthed. But they have this process where they take the child, they go to weigh them, and they or like they put them on a thing, they lift up a lever, and then the baby's the whole weight of the body is just resting on the head. The baby has an awful pained scream, and they pull it down. That's how they weigh the baby. They weigh it directly on its head, and then they like wrap up the baby in plastic foil wrap, like plastic, the thick plastic, and then they hand off the baby to the parent. And I was the parent. I had like the baby just there, and he's like, he's so rolled up. He's the size of like, it's like he's a Subway sub. But like even thinner than that, like a thin Subway sub. The shape of the baby was way off, and but he seemed fine, and he could breathe because his breath made it to my face, and I felt his breath on my face. And he almost slipped out of my hands because he's plastic wrapped, and then I had to like pull him off, pull him. On back on the bed, and I was super tired. So like, there are some parts that I just wasn't aware of, right? But it was quite a good experience, and it was joyful having my hands. But I would prefer it if he wasn't completely wrapped, because I was like. The baby can't even move. Like, he's all tied up. He's all wrapped up. But, anyways, that was my dream. I should begin my day now. So, I'm gonna stop it there, and I don't think I'm gonna have the previous audio. I don't think I'm gonna keep that in there. I'm gonna listen to it, but I think because I kind of fell asleep during its recording, then it would just be a bunch of blank space, and I don't want to go edit it, so I'm not going to do that.